Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our January Spiritual Outreach Call. Today we are blessed to have Monsignor William Fedrowski, who will speak to us in just a moment. Monsignor Fedrowski was a Marist brother for 25 years and began his studies for the priesthood in the Archdiocese of Newark. He was ordained in November 1987, and in January 1988 was assigned as parochial vicar at Queen of Peace Church in North Arlington. In 1991, Monsignor was appointed director of the Archdiocesan Catechetical Office and also served on the board of directors of the National Catholic Educational Association. Monsignor was appointed executive director of the Office of Clergy Personnel and director of priest personnel in January 1996. Monsignor is a magisterial chaplain of the order, and from 1999 to 2016, he served as pastor of Queen of Peace Church in North Arlington, New Jersey. He retired in 2016 and is in residence at St. James Church in Baskin Ridge, New Jersey, where he continues to be involved in pastoral ministry. Monsignor holds a bachelor's degree in French from Marist College, my alma mater, a Master of Arts in Education, and a Master of Divinity in Pastoral Ministry from Seton Hall University. And Monsignor has also been very active in organizing these calls for us, and for that we are grateful. Good morning, Monsignor. It's your call.
Thank you so much, Ray. Shall we begin with a prayer? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. O God, who crowned with the gift of true faith St. Elizabeth Ann Seton's burning zeal to find you, grant by her intercession and example that we may always seek you with diligent love and find you in daily service with sincere faith, through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning and welcome. We're having a heat wave here in New Jersey. The temperature is 21 degrees, which is a lot better than the 5 degrees that we've been having. But there is a snowstorm predicted. It's such a pleasure to join with you today to speak about St. Elizabeth Ann Seton. In September, I had a priest friend from the United Kingdom visit me for 2 weeks. And during that time, we went to the Basilica of the National Shrine of St. Elizabeth Ann Seton in Emmitsburg, Maryland, which is not far from the Civil War battlefield of Gettysburg. And we had the privilege of celebrating the holy sacrifice of the Mass at the altar where Mother Seton is buried. Over the years, I've had a very strong devotion to Mother Seton, and it was a wonderful experience to celebrate Holy Mass at her shrine and visit the places where she lived. 200 years ago, Elizabeth Ann Bailey Seton founded the Sisters of Charity of St. Joseph, the first new community for religious women to be established in the United States. She also began St. Joseph's Academy and Free School, the first free Catholic school for girls staffed by sisters in the United States. Her enduring legacy now includes 6 religious communities with more than 5,000 members, hundreds of schools, social service centers, and hospitals throughout America and around the world. She was canonized on Sunday, September 14th, 1975, in St. Peter's Square by Blessed Paul VI, the first citizen born in the United States to be raised to the altars. The remarkable life of Elizabeth Ann Seton spans the full spectrum of human experience. She was a New York socialite, a devoted wife, a dedicated volunteer in charitable organizations, the mother of 5 children, a convert to Roman Catholicism, an educator, a friend to the poor, a catechist, a tireless servant of God. Elizabeth Bailey Seton was of British and French ancestry and was born to a prominent Anglican family on August 28, 1774, in New York City, 2 years before the Declaration of Independence, and was the second daughter of Dr. Richard Bailey and Catherine Charlton. She died in Emmitsburg, Maryland on June the 4th, 1821, and tomorrow we will celebrate her feast day. The Bailey and Carlton families were among the earliest colonial settlers of the New York area. Elizabeth's paternal grandparents were William Bailey and Susanna LeConte. They were distinguished French Huguenots from New Rochelle. Her maternal grandparents, Mary Bayeux and the Reverend Dr. Richard Carlton, lived on Staten Island, where Dr. Carlton was the rector of St. Andrew's Episcopal Church. After the death of his first wife in 1778, Dr. Bailey married Charlotte Amelia Barclay of the Jacobus James Roosevelt family in New York. However, the marriage ended in a separation as a result of marital conflict. The couple had seven children, three daughters and four sons. Among them was Guy Carlton Bailey, whose son James Roosevelt Bailey, converted to Roman Catholicism, became the first bishop of Newark, New Jersey, and the eighth Archbishop of Baltimore. He is buried at Emmitsburg in the original mortuary chapel where Elizabeth Seton was first buried after her death. Elizabeth and her sister were rejected by their stepmother. On account of her father's travel abroad for medical studies, the girls lived temporarily in New Rochelle, New York, with their paternal uncle, William Bailey, and his wife, Sarah Pell Bailey. When her stepmother and father separated, Elizabeth experienced a period of darkness. She reflected about that period of depression in later years in her journal, which is titled Dear Remembrances, and expressed her relief at not taking the drug Landanum, an opium derivative. And she said, "This wretched reasoning, Landanum, the praise of thanks of excessive joy, not to have done the horrid deed, thoughts and promises of eternal gratitude." Elizabeth had a natural bent towards contemplation. She loved nature and poetry and music, especially playing the piano. She was given to introspection and frequently made entries into her journal expressing her religious sentiments, aspirations, and favorite passages from Scripture. Elizabeth wed William McGee Seton, son of William Seton Sr., and Rebecca Curson Seton, on January 25th, 1794, in the Manhattan home of Mary Bailey Post. Samuel Provost, the first Episcopal Bishop of New York, witnessed the wedding vows of the couple. William McGee Seton, a descendant of the Setons of Parbarath, was the oldest of 13 children of his father's two marriages. The elder Seton married Rebecca Curson, and a year following her death, he married his sister-in-law, Anna Maria Curson. Educated in England, William joined his father and his brother James as founding partners of an import-export mercantile company called William Seton Company, which later became Seton, Maitland & Company in 1793. He had visited important counting houses in Europe in 1788, and thus eventually became a friend of Filippo Felici, a renowned merchant from Livorno in Italy. Socially prominent in New York, the Setons belonged to the fashionable Trinity Episcopal Church. Elizabeth was a devout communicant under the influence of the Reverend John Henry Hobart, who later became a bishop, who was her spiritual director. Elizabeth, along with her sister-in-law, Rebecca Mary Seton, her sole friend and dearest confidant, nursed the sick and dying among family, friends, and needy neighbors. Elizabeth was among the founders and charter members of the Society for the Relief of Poor Widows with Small Children, and she also served as treasurer for the organization. Elizabeth and William McGee Seton were blessed with five children: Anna Maria, William, Richard, Catherine, and Rebecca. Anna Maria, who accompanied her parents to Italy in 1803, became afflicted with tuberculosis as an adolescent and made her vows as a sister of charity on her deathbed. Rebecca fell on the ice somewhere before 1812, causing a hip injury, which resulted in lameness and experienced an early death from tuberculosis. Both Anna Maria and Rebecca are buried in the original cemetery of the Sisters of Charity on the grounds of the National Shrine of St. Elizabeth Ann Seton in Emmitsburg. When sailing with the United States Navy as a civil servant, Richard died at the age of 25 off the coast of Liberia. Catherine, who was also called Josephine, was beautiful and witty. She distinguished herself by her linguistic and musical talents, developed at St. Joseph's Academy in Emmitsburg. She was the only Seton present at her mother's death. Catherine later lived with her brother William and his family and traveled to Europe with them several times before entering the Sisters of Mercy in New York City. As Mother Mary Catherine, she devoted herself for more than 40 years to prison ministry in New York. William received a commission as a lieutenant in the United States Navy in February of 1826, married Emily Prime in 1804. Seven of their nine children lived to adulthood, including Archbishop Robert Seton and Helen, another New York Sister of Mercy. After the death in 1798 of William Seton Sr., Elizabeth's father-in-law, responsibility was thrust on her husband for both the family business and the welfare of his younger half-siblings. About 6 months pregnant with their third child at the time, Elizabeth managed the care of both families in the Seton household. There, she enjoyed her initial experience of teaching with her first students, Charlotte, Harriet, and Cecilia, her youngest sisters-in-law. During their monetary crisis, Elizabeth tried to assist her husband at night by managing the accounts for his firm, but the company went bankrupt in 1801, and the Setons lost all their possessions, including the family home in Lower Manhattan. William McGee Seton began to show signs of tuberculosis as their financial problems escalated. In 1803, Elizabeth, William, and their oldest daughter, Anna Maria, sailed to the warm climate of Italy in a desperate effort to restore William's health. Italian authorities at the port of Livorno feared yellow fever, which was then prevalent in New York. As a result, the Setons were quarantined in a cold stone lazaretto. The Felici family did all that they could to advocate for them to provide some relief during their month of isolation. 2 weeks after his discharge, William Seton died in Pisa on December 27th and was buried in the English cemetery in Livorno, leaving Elizabeth a widow with five young children at the age of 29. Their experiences in Italy transformed the lives of Elizabeth and her daughter. Antonio Felici and his wife provided gracious hospitality to the widow and child until the Setons returned to the United States the next spring. Filippo Felici and his wife of Boston, also with Antonio and his wife, introduced Elizabeth to Roman Catholicism. Elizabeth came upon the text of the Memorare. Her lack of knowledge about the religion and inquisitive nature led her to inquire about Catholic practices. She asked about the sacred liturgy, the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, and the Church's direct, unbroken link with Christ and the Apostles. The Italian Journal, her long memoir written for her sister-in-law, Rebecca Seton, reveals the intimate details of Elizabeth's heart-rending personal journey of internal conflict and conversion. Antonio, who had business interests in America, accompanied the Setons back to the States and instructed Elizabeth about the faith and offered wise counsel during her indecision. Elizabeth felt deeply for Antonio, who provided not only emotional support, but also substantial financial resources to her. Although Elizabeth left the United States a devout Protestant, she returned to New York in June of 1804 with the heart of a Roman Catholic. Immediately, opposition and insecurity threatened her resolve. Elizabeth's religious inclinations incurred the ire of both family and friends. Their hostility, coupled with the death of her beloved Rebecca, her sister-in-law, and most intimate confidant, caused Elizabeth deep anguish. She was also troubled by her strained financial situation. Her five children were all under 8 years of age. As their sole parent, Elizabeth faced many challenges and frequently had to relocate into less expensive housing. While Elizabeth was discerning God's will for her future, the Virgin Mary became her prism of faith. In her discernment, she relied on several spiritual advisors among the clergy, Father John Chevres, the first bishop of Boston, his associate, Father Francis Matignon. Struggling with doubts and fears in her search for truth, Elizabeth resolved her inner conflict regarding religious conversion and embraced Roman Catholicism. On March 14, 1805, Father Matthew O'Brien received Elizabeth's profession of the Catholic faith at St. Peter's Church on Barclay Street in Lower Manhattan. Elizabeth received her first communion 2 weeks later on March 25th. Bishop John Carroll, the first Catholic bishop in the United States, whom she considered her spiritual father, confirmed her the next year on Pentecost Sunday. For her confirmation name, Elizabeth added the name of Mary to her own and frequently signed herself M-E-A-S, which was her abbreviation for Mary Elizabeth Ann Seton. Accordingly, the three names, Mary, Ann, and Elizabeth, signified the moments of the mysteries of salvation for her. Elizabeth's initial years as a Catholic from 1805 to 1808 were in New York, and they were marked by disappointments and failures. Anti-Catholicism was rampant, and that prejudice prevented her from beginning a school. She eventually secured a teaching position at the school of a Protestant couple, Mr. and Mrs. Patrick White. But they failed financially within a short time. Elizabeth's venture was next a boarding school for boys who attended a school directed by Reverend William Harris at St. Mark's Episcopal Church. But disgruntled parents withdrew their sons. Seton family members also distrusted Elizabeth's influence on younger family members. Their fears were realized when Cecilia converted to Roman Catholicism in 1806, followed by Harriet's profession of faith in 1809. During Cecilia's struggles as a new convert, Elizabeth wrote an instructive spiritual journey for her, offering her wise counsel. Although Elizabeth was frustrated in establishing herself to provide for the welfare of her children, she remained faith-filled. She was convinced that God would show her the way according to his divine plan. In considering her future and examining alternatives, Elizabeth remained a mother, first and foremost. She regarded her five darlings as her primary obligation over every other commitment. Father Louis William Dubourg of the Sulpician Fathers was visiting in New York when Elizabeth met him quite providentially about 1806. Since 1797, Dubourg had desired a congregation of religious women to teach girls in Baltimore, Maryland. He, with the concurrence of Bishop John Carroll, invited Elizabeth to Baltimore. The French priests of the Society of St. Sulpice, who were emigres in Maryland, assisted her in forming a plan of life which would be in the best interests of her children. The Sulpicians wished to form a small school for the religious education of children. After her arrival in Maryland in 1808, Elizabeth spent 1 year as the school's mistress in Baltimore. The Sulpicians envisioned the development of a community of sisters modeled on the Daughters of Charity of Paris, and they actively recruited candidates for this beginning community. Cecilia Marie O'Conway from Philadelphia, Mary Ann Butler, also from Philadelphia, Susan Clousey of New York, Catherine Mullen of Baltimore, Anna Maria Murphy Burke of Philadelphia, and Rose White, a widow from Baltimore. Only Elizabeth pronounced vows of chastity and obedience to Bishop Carroll for 1 year in the lower chapel at St. Mary's Seminary on Packer Street in Baltimore in March of 1809. The bishop gave her the title Mother Seton. And on the 16th of June, 1809, the group of sisters appeared for the first time in public, dressed alike, in a black dress, cape, and bonnet, patterned after the widow's weeds of women in Italy, whom Elizabeth had encountered there. Samuel Cooper, a wealthy seminarian and convert, purchased 269 acres of land for the establishment of the young community near Emmitsburg, in the countryside of Frederick County, Maryland. Cooper wished to establish an institution for the education of young girls and for character formation rooted in Christian values and the Catholic faith, as well as services to the elderly, job skill development, and a small factory which would be beneficial to people oppressed by poverty. Cooper had Elizabeth in mind to direct the program. Their stone farmhouse was not yet ready for occupancy when Elizabeth, her children, and the sisters arrived in Emmitsburg in 1809. Father Jean Dubois of the Sulpicians, the founder of Mount St. Mary's College and Seminary, offered his cabin on St. Mary's Mountain for the women to use until they would be able to move to their property in the nearby valley some 6 weeks later. According to tradition, Elizabeth named the area St. Joseph's Valley. There, the Sisters of Charity of St. Joseph began on July the 31st, 1809, in the Stone House, the former Fleming farmhouse. In mid-February 1810, Elizabeth and her companions moved into St. Joseph's House, which is now called the White House. Elizabeth opened St. Joseph's Free School in February of 1810 to needy girls of the area, and thus the first free Catholic school for girls staffed by sisters in this country was established. St. Joseph's Academy began in May of 1810 with the addition of boarding students who paid tuition, enabling the Sisters of Charity to subsidize their charitable mission. St. Joseph's Academy and Free School formed the cradle of Catholic education in the United States. Divine Providence guided Elizabeth and her little community through the poverty, and unsettling first years. Numerous women joined the Sisters of Charity. Between 1809 and 1820, of the 98 candidates who arrived during Elizabeth's lifetime, 86 of them joined the new community, and 70% remained Sisters of Charity for the rest of their lives. Illness, sorrow, and early death were omnipresent in Elizabeth's lives. She buried 18 sisters in Emmitsburg, in addition to her two daughters, Anne and Rebecca, and her sisters-in-law, Harriet and Cecilia Seton. The Sulpicians assisted Elizabeth in adapting the 17th-century French rule of the Daughters of Charity for the Sisters of Charity of St. Joseph, in accord with the needs of the Catholic Church in America. Elizabeth formed her sisters in the Vincentian spirit according to the tradition of St. Vincent de Paul and St. Louise de Marillac. 18 Sisters of Charity, including Elizabeth, made private annual vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience, and service for the poor for the first time in 1813, and thereafter made their annual vows on March 25th, the Feast of the Annunciation. Elected by the members of the community to be the first mother of the Sisters of Charity, Elizabeth was re-elected successively and remained at its head until her death. The Sulpicians, who had conceived and founded the community, filled the office of Superior General through 1849. The Sisters of Charity intertwined social outreach with education and faith and religious values in all they undertook in their mission. Elizabeth dispatched sisters to Philadelphia to manage St. Joseph's Asylum, the first Catholic orphanage in the United States, in 1814. The next year, she opened a mission at Mount St. Mary's to oversee the infirmary and domestic services for the college and seminary near Emmitsburg. In 1817, sisters from St. Joseph's Valley went to New York to begin the Roman Catholic Orphan Asylum. Father Simon Brute of the Sulpicians, from Mount St. Mary's, served as the chaplain to the Sisters of Charity and as Elizabeth's spiritual director until her death. He was her principal guide along the path of sanctity. He, along with Dubois, actively instilled the spirit of St. Vincent de Paul and St. Louise de Marillac among the Sisters of Charity. Father Brute advised Elizabeth to read and translate the lives of Louise and Vincent and some other spiritual writings. Today, the work of education and charity lives on in Elizabeth's spiritual daughters throughout the world. Archbishop James Givens, who later became a cardinal and Archbishop of Baltimore, initiated her cause for canonization in 1882. It was officially introduced at the Vatican in 1940 and made steady progress. St. John the 23rd declared Elizabeth the Venerable in 1959 and beatified her in March of 1963. Blessed Paul the 6th canonized Elizabeth Ann Seton on September 14th during the holy year of 1975. The Holy See accepted three miracles due to her intercession. These included the cures of Sister Gertrude Kosendoffer, daughter of charity from St. Louis of cancer, a young child, Anne Teresa O'Neill of Baltimore, from acute lymphatic leukemia, and Carl Callan of New York, from a rare form of encephalitis. The extraordinary manner in which Elizabeth lived an ordinary life flowed from the centrality of the Word of God and the Eucharist in her life. These strengthened her, enabling her to love God, her family, and her neighbor. In the depths of her charity, she also took heroic works of mercy Not only did she and her Sisters of Charity care for orphans, widows, and poor families, but they also addressed the unmet needs of the poor. Elizabeth had a special concern for children who lacked educational opportunities, especially religious instruction in the faith. Her lifelong devotion to the will of God led her to sanctity. Her longing for eternity began at a young age with her early formation as an Episcopalian. Throughout her earthly journey of 46 years, Elizabeth viewed herself as a pilgrim on the road of life. She faced each day with eyes of faith, looking forward to heaven. Dominant themes in her life and writings include her pursuit of the divine will, nourishment from the Eucharist and Holy Scripture, confidence in divine providence, and charitable service to Jesus in the poor. From her deathbed in Emmitsburg, she expressed her wish that those gathered about her be children of the church, be children of the church. She prayed her way through life's joys and struggles using sacred scripture. This enabled her to live serenely. Psalm 23, which she learned as a child, remained her favorite treasury of consolation throughout her life of suffering and loss. Elizabeth's pathway to inner peace and sanctity flowed from her way of living the Paschal Mystery in her own life. She moved from devotional reception of Holy Communion as an Episcopalian to awe as a Roman Catholic, and often ecstatic adoration of Jesus really present in the Eucharist. Her Eucharistic devotion and faith in God's abiding presence nourished her imitation of Jesus Christ, the source and model of all charity. As she established the Sisters of Charity in their mission of charity and education, she adopted the regulations for the Sisters of Charity in the United States. Her choice of the Vincentian rule reflects how Elizabeth understood her mission as one of apostolic service, honoring Jesus Christ to service through the poor. Elizabeth's spiritual pathway involved other people, her advisors, friends, collaborators, and those she served. When Elizabeth died in 1821, she had accomplished far more than anyone might have dared to imagine. Her loving heart has touched many. Today we see in St. Elizabeth Ann Seton someone who has lived many of the experiences of life of many people today. Wife, widow, mother, friend, breadwinner, vowed religious. 43 years after her canonization, her story still stands as an example of how God's love supports and draws us through the events of our lives. Through the intercession of St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, may all of us in the Order of Malta continue to draw strength from God's Word and from the Eucharist as we seek to defend the Catholic faith and to serve the sick and the poor. God bless you all, and thank you so much.
Thank you, Monsignor, for your very inspiring talk. So many of us have been affected by the Sisters of Charity without the knowledge of their founder. Thank you again, and thanks to all for joining the call. And we'll see you again in February.
Thank you.